Voices that inspire the extended interview.
Robert Scott Sisson, Director of Facilities, Grounds, and Landscape Operations for Florida State University.
So what does it mean to be a landscape designer? What is that? What do you do?
Oh, that's extremely broad question.
For the layman.
For the layman. Well, you know, it could be a lot of things. I mean, in landscape architecture, you go into parks, you go into private practice, you could go into forestry service. So they all have different types, meanings, and things that happen. For campuses, it's a whole different ballgame.
How did you end up focusing on campuses? How'd that come about?
Just complete accident. I did my fifth year's senior thesis at Arizona State University Research Park. A friend of mine in Arizona said, hey, you need to give it a shot. And so I did. It was an old farm that was belonged to Arizona State University. They were going to convert it to a research park. In those days, there was a big trend doing research parks, which there still is. And what made this interesting was that they were going to spend $70 million on the landscape, which included lakes and pumps and trails and just all this sophisticated stuff. So I did my designs for their conference center and kind of laying it out. And when I got done, they actually offered me a position. And I was actually headed for Disney at Edel back then. And I thought, well, this will be a great opportunity to learn how to put the designs together and build them and understand them. Because it's real easy to get behind a drawing board and start designing things. And then you kind of forget how to put it together and who's going to use it, how it's used. So I thought, well, this will be a good learning experience. And it got me back to Arizona and had a great time. You know, we finished that up in, I don't know, in the 80s, I guess. And from there, I went on to Arizona State University main campus and developed the arboretum for the main campus. Did sculpture with my sculpture partner. In fact, Arizona State has some nice sculptures I'm proud to say that are mine, that are on campus. The Arboretum gates are out there. So that gave me another opportunity to do sculpture and work on designs and work with my friend, Joe Tyler. So kept on going. And then one thing led to another, and you blink and you got so many years in, and next thing you know, you're kind of liking what you're doing. And so they send you off to do some satellite campuses downtown, the West Campus, Arizona State. And then I ended up at what they call the ASU Poly Campus, which got to work with some very fine architects, landscape architects, Christy Tunite. And it was an extreme challenge. I love challenges. And the one thing I remember about it is, I mean, they sent me to hell. I mean, I don't know where, because everything was asphalt. You know, the Air Force did not go anywhere without driving. So everything was asphalt. And now we got the challenge to build a campus. So we set out in designs, building the malls. It was a desert landscape. So we created the desert arboretum out at the Poly campus. And then the next thing I know, I blink and I'm at FSU, which was great. I had a great time.
So when did you come to FSU?
Oh, I don't know. I don't keep track of dates. Almost 20 years ago.
So obviously very different landscape, climate, from Arizona to Florida.
Everything was different. The moment I stepped off the plane, the first time I came to Tallahassee, everything was different. The moment I stepped on the campus, I thought the Poly campus was a challenge, but when I got on the FSU campus, You got to remember back then, the sidewalks, we didn't have, I call them malls. You call them legacy walks. All they had is sidewalks that were maybe 5, 6, 7 feet wide. And you had more population coming to the campus. And so the next thing you know, you had nothing but trails and ropes keeping people on the cattle trail. And there was no color. You had beautiful trees, but you really didn't have, it looked a little like a tired high school.
So you must like a challenge then.
I do love a challenge.
So when you arrived and you saw this, like, where do you start? Where do you begin?
Well, I remember the vice president saying, because I said, look, I think you need a miracle worker. And he said, every hit's going to be a home run. And I think I looked in his eyes and I thought, well, he's got to be right. So why not take a shot? I think the very first thing I did, and it's not just me, it's the facilities team, because you can't, it's just not me. But we took off all the guardrails. We took off all the chains. We took off all the links. We started looking at ways to look at the sidewalks to create bigger sidewalks, bigger walkways, but saving the trees, saving the oak trees. And one challenge led to another challenge, and we just kept on going. But I think that was the biggest one, is taking off all these yellow chains that were all over the place. And for everybody who remembers back then, they'll remember these gold chains. They were all over the place. And then once we started building the malls or the legacy walks, whatever you want to call them, one thing led to another, because then it sprouts off little trails or little areas where it leads you to another part of the campus. So the important part of it is there should be some type of kind of an adventure, something that leads you off to the path. Say it's different plants or different microclimates or different things to discover. And we did. We actually brought back some seeds from Arizona, and we grew them. To this day, they're called Red Bird of Paradises, and we'll see them, Cecilpinias, we'll see them on the campus. They love it. They love a hot area up against the brick walls. So everything is a different microclimate, and it leads you to a different design. It's almost as if it's a puzzle, and you try to put those pieces together that's appropriate. Do we succeed all the time? No, you know, we've got areas that need work, that's for sure. But everything's a challenge. You know, labor's a challenge. Funding's a challenge, but you just overcome it. You just keep on going, and you work as a team. The facilities management department and grounds is part of facilities management is a big team. You can't do one thing without the other, because what if you need lighting, or what if you want to light up something? You can't do that. You need the team. You know, one thing leads to another as far as how it grows and how we find microclimates and how we develop them. The other challenge is that everything on a campus, and I'm just not saying Florida State, because I believe it's all campuses in the United States, it's one big building area. There's no sacred, really very few sacred areas on a campus. They're all got some form of schedule growth. And back in the 40s, that was not a big deal. I mean, there was lots of parking lots and stuff, but then they started developing the parking lots, and then they had to find places for the cars, and then the new buildings needed to coexist with the fabric of the landscape that you're creating. One thing evolves to another.
So when you came on, it was under T.K. Weatherall, correct? He was the president at the time?
T.K. Weatherall was the president.
And didn't he have a vision of what he wanted the campus? Like, he really wanted to make sure that new buildings followed a certain style and feel. Like, he didn't want to have a lot of different styles of...
He did. I'm not saying that Sandy didn't have a lot to do with that either, because he wanted the architecture to have a certain feel also, instead of having an eclectic type of architecture. And I think T.K., bought into that idea also. He just continued that. He wanted the landscape to be as part of that fabric also. You know, he wanted a place where people could go, they could sit, they could enjoy themselves. They wanted it had to be it has to be safe, it has to be clean, it has to give you a first impression, make you want to say, I'm going to leave so-and-so and come work here because I can go out and have a cup of coffee and just enjoy the landscape. I've been extremely fortunate. I've been blessed because all the administrations, vice presidents, presidents have been extremely behind this 100%. I think they understand how important the fabric is in the landscape and the impressions it makes and how they're going to recruit faculty, staff, and those kind of things. That I've had nothing but great feedback. I had nothing but great times. I have been blessed. It's been a good time.
Do you have a favorite place on campus?
Do I have a favorite place on campus? I'm partial to the Black Rock, which was designed by Anton. It's a rock that I remember finding when they were working on Ruby Diamond. And it's a black rock that has an inscription on it about friends and people that have passed. It's now an area where we, if we have students that have passed away, it's an area where we dedicate a brick in their honor in that area. The benches are not benches. They're made of recycled concrete curbs that we found at the old courthouse that was being worked on at the time that created this great seating area. It's a lot of recycled concrete, a lot of recycled material. It sits behind a big oak tree. It's on Mina Jo Powell, and it's probably one of my favorite places to go meditate.
So funny you should say that, Scott, because I was having lunch with a professor on campus, and I had told her I was going to talk with you, and she said, well, let me take you to my favorite place. And she's in Diffenbaugh.
Oh, okay.
So she said, whenever I need a break, this is where I go. And she took me to that garden. And I had walked by it, never seen it, because it's sort of sunk in a little bit.
It's sunk in. It's in the corner.
Yeah.
Off into a corner.
And I just couldn't get over how beautiful it was. And that rock, you're absolutely right.
Yeah. It was buried. The construction guys had buried it. And so I found it. And we pushed it off to the side until we could figure out what to do design-wise. And it's just always been one of my favorite places. I've got some trees that we've grown from seed that are there that they're trying. They're getting there. But they're unusual. They're silk floss trees. And but the winters have taken a real damage on storm damage and stuff like that on them. But the whole area just gives you a nice, peaceful feel.
And there's a water. There's water feature.
There's a water feature that's a very small trinkle. It's actually a tree grate that was made into a water feature that just trickles up just enough to give you the sound of water, but not like Westcott Fountain or anything like that.
Yeah, no, it's very subtle.
Very subtle. So everything is kind of hushed tones when you're talking because you're listening to the water. And you can see the reflection of yourself on a good day in the rock itself. So it's one of my favorite places.
Well, I would say your earlier comment about creating a place where people want to be, my friend Aline, I know that the look of the campus and how it feels to her is what made her decide to come to FSU.
I get letters, emails, calls about parents talking about their first impressions, about how safe they feel dropping off their child there for the first time. And these are first impressions for them, too, because they're leaving home. People that have contacted me about one of the main reasons they became a faculty member from so-and-so was that they took a walk, got a cup of coffee, and they found themselves meandering through the campus. And that's exactly what it should be. And that's what campuses really should be. Can they be? No. I mean, can they all be? Probably not. But if you have the right bones, you can make something happen. And I'm not saying that we don't have a lot of work to do. We do. We really do. But it's a team effort. It's not Scott Sisson sitting here. It's a team effort. It's a facilities team effort. And we wouldn't be where we're at today without the project managers and that had helped us with landscapes and the electricians, the plumbers, all the rest of those people that get us there.
But, you know, I always love when I come, and I don't get on campus enough, but like when I'll go and all of a sudden I'll take a little drive around and it will be a circle of zinnias that are blooming so spectacularly. And they're like my favorite flower, by the way. And then to see them in such mass.
You'd be surprised how many times I get people photographing them, sending me a photograph in a vase, a vase or whatever it is. I was out there on a Saturday after the tornado, and there was some person out there in the middle of just cutting the flowers. And that's what it should really be about, enjoying the plant material. I see kids that will stop in the middle of the walkway and just take a picture of a flower or a plant that they haven't seen before. The zinnias were actually just a wild idea. It was just a median. They usually put grass in them. And we thought, let's take a walk on the wild side. We've learned a lot from it, and it's not perfect, but it does. When it shows, it has a blast of color, and it introduces you to that part of the campus.
Which is sort of like towards facilities, you know, it's not the premier part of the campus,
no.
But then you're driving around and you see those flowers and you have to stop.
Yeah, it's a stopper, that's for sure.
What keeps you inspired? This series is Voices Inspire. What keeps you inspired in this work, Scott?
I think what keeps me inspired is the people, the administration, the folks at facilities, the talents, the professionalism. They're extremely talented people. You're exposed to master electricians, master carpenters, plumbers, horticulturists, landscape architects, garden designers, and they all, you know, have a rhythm that they go with, and it just makes you successful. You know, one of the things I like, kind of proud of a little bit, is we worked with all those folks, and when we were building the Mary Coburn building, it used to be a parking lot, so there was all these oak trees in the parking lot. So what we did is convince everybody that if we just moved them just a little bit, we could get them out of the footprint of the building. And that made all the difference. That made the path least traveled. But the building looks like it's been there for a long time. When you can do little things like that, that's extremely, keeps you on your toes and challenging. Because I've never done it before. Moved swallows before, but...
So you moved live oaks.
We moved those live oaks. We found a company that would help us work with us. And I remember saying to the project manager, how hard can this be? You know, we just dig a channel and put some pipes down and wrap it and gently move it. And it wasn't as simple as that, but the theory was right. And it was successful. The oaks are still there. One's got a little dieback, but it's always had dieback, even when it was a parking lot. But it makes the whole landscape, because the architect was able to fit the building right into those oak trees.
I wish there was that much consideration in general construction. I mean, we tend to just clear, cut, and then we plant skimpy little dumb trees that don't fit the landscape. Scott, it makes me crazy.
I don't live in Tallahassee. And in fact, someone from Tallahassee asked me that when I first got here, and they asked me my impression. I said, well, you know, I don't understand, because in Arizona, we have to protect the trees. We have to protect the saguaros. So when we're building a site, they're all protected. They're boxed. But here, if we're building a neighborhood, it seems like Shady Grove is not Shady Grove anymore. It's bulldozed down, and now we plant little trees. And it'll be 50 years before those trees will be anything. I think the houses will probably be gone by then.
I think you're right. I mean, by the time those trees are mature, they'll be tearing the houses
down.
Yeah, it's an endless cycle.
But that's my that's just my philosophy. That's just me. I mean, I'm not criticizing or anything else. I think I got my hands full with the campus.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. One last question for you. If someone's listening and they're thinking, you know, I want to take lessons learned from what you were talking about and figure out a way to make my own home yard feel more special, how would one begin? What would you, what's your tip for someone to think about how to improve their own little piece of land?
In my, right off the top of my head, my humble opinion is to study your house, your ecosystem, your where the sun's radiating on the wall, what side is cold, what side is sunny, what side is gets a blast of cold wind, where the soils, how the soils look before you do anything. And once you've got that analysis down pat, you know it, then you start researching the type of plants that you'd like to know that will grow in those areas. And maybe you want to even go a little further and create a little arbor that leads you to a barbecue area. Then you want to have some diversity outside the house. I mean, I would. I mean, I don't want to be right up against the house barbecue, and I'd rather walk through the trellis, a vine-covered trellis, to the barbecue area. And even though I got to walk 15 steps back to the kitchen, I'd rather walk that way if I could. But that'll save you a ton of time because people will just go out there and start planting. And people will sell you anything. I mean, because they look nice, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to grow in that location or what's going to happen. It may look good for a year, but you really need to study your domain, your little area. We call it site analysis.
Okay.
Once you got that.
I love it. Well, any final thoughts? And then I'll let you get back to your day job.
No, I feel a little easier. I'm not as uncomfortable as I was. I would say that the most important thing that is not even related to landscape architecture is in my life is I have a educationally disabled daughter who's out in Arizona that been with me for all my sculpture projects, and she just amazes me every day. The things that she picks up and learns and everything else. I tell her all the time. I told her this Saturday. She called me up on my birthday, and I said, Kate, they lined up all the children in the world. I'd always pick you. And so that's my most important accomplishment, not my day job.
You can't get her to move to Florida?
Oh, she does. She comes out here and volunteers, but her mom does not like hurricanes. And we went through Hurricane Michael together, and that just freaked her out.
Yeah, that's pretty freaky.
So I'm a little tired of hurricanes myself.
I know. I'd love to go down another path with you about climate stuff and how that's impacting, you know, design and everything. But that's
I was thinking about that listening to the BBC. I'd get up at 4:30 in the morning and have a cup of coffee and listen to them, and they're talking about climate change and the effects and how it is. And we see it right now. If you think about it, they just changed the agricultural charts. We're no longer 8 or whatever we were. We're like 9A or something, you know. And 10, 15 years from now, we could be 9. You know, it's just a whole different ballgame. And it's that means everything around you is going to change. The plants that can't take it, the pines or whatever it is, you might see a die-off. You might see a total ecological change from all this.
Yeah.
And it's already happening. They're discussing designs. For example, there's a lot of heat waves going on. So the BBC was talking about designing structures in Saudi Arabia and things like that with trees that are more tolerant, but with shade structures. So the whole philosophy of design is changing, and you got to go with it. Robert Scott Sisson, Director of facilities, grounds, and landscape operations for Florida State University.